And we're back. We're going to talk to Norman Otis Richmond, the bluesologist. Are you there, Norman?
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing real good. We just played Sweet Honey in the Rock. I think I know that's one of your something I know you're sweet on yourself. What, tell us about that piece.
Did you play We Who Believe in Freedom?
I'm afraid not. I did not keep notes, and so I just saw Sweet Honey in the Rock, and I said, well, we'll do that. But anyway, we'll move.
Oh, Sweet Honey in the Rock, they're led by Bernice Reagan out of Georgia. She came out of SNCC, and they have a long history of, singing freedom songs about Africans in America, Caribbean, United States, and all oppressed people.
See, I knew you never catch Norman Otis Richmond flat-footed. Yeah. Now, Otis, we were going to talk about a number of things, and I know you want to talk, especially we just had Black History Month, and now we have International Women's Day coming up, and you wanted to mention Gene Daniels, and particularly to somebody to remember. Tell us why Gene Daniels has been important.
Well, Gene Daniels is a unsung hero of Black history. She was born in Nova Scotia and grew up in Montreal and came to Canada. And you know, when we think about Black History Month, we think about Dr. Dan Hill Sr. We think about Stan Grisel, and we think about Jean Augustine, Rosemary Sadler. But before all of those people who made a contribution, there were two people. One was a Jewish woman by the name of Jackie Schaffenberg, and the other person was Gene Daniels, who talked about Black history. We're talking about in the 40s and in the 50s.
Uh-huh.
And she was on the left.
Uh-huh.
She was I think she was in the. She might have. If she was not in the Communist Party, she was. She didn't see the Communist Party as being a boogie man or a boogie woman.
Uh-huh.
And I think that is probably the major reason why she has been whited out of history.
Uh-huh.
I think.
What are her dates? So wait, she was, you know, when she was born and passed it?
I'm having a senior moment now. She passed away quite a few years ago, at least 20 years ago.
Did you know her?
Yes, sir. I met her many times. I've interviewed her. I have a tape of. And I did an interview with her, and I'm going through my catalogs now. I'm going to attempt to find that. But she led a demonstration against George Wallace at Maple Leaf Gardens. He came to
George Wallace came to Maple Leaf Gardens.
And a Klan moment. And that's when he was running for president. Whether it's segregation today, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever. I think that might have been the direct quote, but she led a demonstration against him. So, and she basically led the anti-apartheid movement
And that would take guts to do that. Hello.
She was a real. She couldn't have been a little over 5 feet tall. And she had a very she had a contralto voice. I mean, she had a voice sort of like Salome Bay or Sarah Vaughan, you know, very deep voice. And she smoked. She put away those cigarettes.
Huh.
And
you know, by the way, we should say about our forebears and the heroes of the 30s, 40s, 50s, they did have some problems. Of course, the struggles were intense, but we should all learn that smoking knocked out a lot of people and alcohol.
Oh, yeah, but that's I think that comes with the stress if you don't take liquor,
you know, that,
hard drugs.
And to give the Muslims, the black Muslims, their credit, they said that. They said, don't drink and smoke. They said, you know, be clean and all that, so you'll be strong.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah. Well, you were very fortunate to meet her. You have a distinct memory of what was on her mind when you interviewed her?
She was basically giving me the history of her of her life, the fact that she, you know, was born in Halifax, came to Montreal, then she came to Toronto, and she mentored, you know, quite a few people, and she talked about the fact that it was, you know, as an elder at that time, it was her obligation to pass on the knowledge to the younger generation, and she was very firm about, you know, black history or African liberation and the whole history. She wanted us to take it serious. Mm-hmm. You know, at that particular time, you know, it is, you know, some people maintain that it has been co-opted, mm-hmm. you know, because I think it was Glenn Ford talked about the black misleadership class, you know, that mm-hmm. in this black misleadership class, you know, they basically, you know, give awards to themselves. And, you know, you don't.
Yes.
I mean, you have to be, I think it was Lenin talked about, you know, I think after you're dead for 25 or 50 years, the bourgeoisie recognizes you. Not that they recognize you, but you've been gone for so long, you're no longer a threat.
Yeah.
You know, Fred Hampton now, you know, Fred has been gone for.
Well, and it's kind of sad. Some people, you invoke his name, right, who didn't actually support him.
It's like we have a monument
to Martin Luther King, but it's a bunch of people standing in front of it having a picture taken who actually tried to have him arrested.
Well, everybody talks about Fred Hampton now, but at the time when Dr. King passed away, he was public enemy number one, even among quite a few African people didn't support him.
Yeah. We're speaking to Norman Otis Richmond, the bluesologist, and I know Norman. It did give me a lift to see Charles Roach's picture and with a good text in the TTC. How did you see this, and what do you think of that?
I've only seen the photograph of it. I haven't seen it. I have not witnessed it. I want to go witness it, but I understand it's going to be a permanent fixture. It's going to be there forever and a day.
I think that's great. And somebody else that you wanted, I know we remember, it was really remarkable individuals, Austin Clark, who, my gosh, I mean, he won some prizes and really deserved them for great literature. But talk about Austin.
Austin Clark was the person who, I guess he welcomed me to Canada when I first came to Canada. He used to live on Asquith Street. That's young and young, right where the reference library is.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a home there. And when I met him, he showed me the chair that Malcolm X had set in when he came to Toronto. And he talked about, you know, the fact that when he met Malcolm, you know, some of the things they talked about, the fact that both of their wives were named Betty. Betty Clark, still in the land of the living. That was Malcolm. That was Austin's.
Yeah.
Austin's wife,
yeah.
And Betty Shabazz was Malcolm's wife,
mm-hmm.
and he said that they, you know, they sat down, they listened to Coltrane and James Brown, and they, you know, they talked about, the issues of the day, And
he wrote it. That's
he wrote about it.
Yeah, and his has a nice memoir. And I know I read it. I don't know if it was a memoir or an essay by him, but recalling Malcolm X.
I think Austin has a memoir called Membering. I think that's
Membering.
The name of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, also, and I think he, you told me he's a great. He was a great cook.
Oh yeah, he could burn. Yeah, he could burn. He could. Yeah, he could. Yeah, he. Because when you'd walk into his house, the first thing he would ask you, "Are you feeling peckish?" And then he would lead you to the kitchen, and then he would start talking smack. He talked all crazy talk. You know, he was a very funny guy.
Mm-hmm.
So while he would be in there, you know, cutting onions and this and that and. He would just be talking and, you know, giving you, going back in history, you know, he was a track star. He never talked about, I didn't realize he was a.
Isn't that something?
He was a track star. Because, I mean, I guess I was pretty good at track and field.
Well, you yourself were a sprinter, right? Am I right?
Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
I think it was called the 100-yard dash.
Yeah, but I was noted for no one could beat me in 50 yards. But I remember I ran against what's his name? Willie Crawford. Willie Crawford was
one of the great sprinters of all time.
He was a football player, basketball. He played with the Dodgers, I think. Willie graduated from high school on Friday, and Monday he was playing in the major leagues. Yeah, that's a little exaggerated, but not too much exaggeration. We ran in the Junior Olympics, and I ran the first leg and did my job. And Willie was the anchor man, and you know I was laying on the track, getting ready to look at my. Get my medal, and my mother and father were in the stands, and Willie Crawford dropped the baton. I never will forget that as long as I live.
Oh my gosh!
That was in Los Angeles. I was in the LA Coliseum.
You ran a leg of the 400. Was it yards or 440 or 400?
It was a 440.
The 440.
The relay. I was always the first.
Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum.
Yes, sir.
And you guys were gonna win it, and they dropped the baton.
Well, really dropped.
You were on your back? Because I've been in that Coliseum, and that place is
huge.
Awesome. If so you are down on the field.
I think it's 100,000, 110,000.
Wow. Now, I think we may as well finish this. You beat Crawford in the 50?
In 50, yeah. He's not here to argue,
so you may as well say yes.
Oh, yeah, I beat him. I had my clothes on when I beat him.
Wow. Oh, my God.
But that was 50 yards. Though.
You better write your memoirs and start with your beating Crawford, because Crawford was indeed eventually 100. He was a 100-yard guy. And one of the champions, right?
I don't know. Willie played in. Willie went on to play Major League Baseball.
Ah, I got probably confusing you with another Crawford.
Bobby Tolan also played. Went to the same high school and junior high school that I went to, and Bobby played with the St. Louis Cardinals, and the Cincinnati Red Lake. But with the high school I went to, John C. Fremont. Produce more baseball players in the National League than any other high school in the United States.
Wow!
And I wanted to play baseball, but I couldn't make the baseball team. My father was so upset about that because he cared about was baseball. He wanted me to play first base.
Uh-huh.
And I was saying, I don't want to play first base. I want to play center field because I want to be like Willie Mays and catch the ball so all the girls could be screaming. I would be telling him, first of all, I'm too short.
Let's mention another.
And I'm right-handed. If you play first base, you should be tall. You should be
tall and left-handed. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, you
and I
wanna, you're learned. Giving me a chance to mention a ball player that you must know about, a black ball player who broke in roughly when Jackie Robinson did. As we often say, they didn't get the attention, but Sam Jethro. You remember Jethro? And was he a center fielder? Because he was known for his speed.
Now, I can't remember what position he played. My father took me to all the baseball games at the L.A. Coliseum when the Brooklyn Dodgers became the Los Angeles Dodgers. So
you got to see him.
At one point, I could tell you who played.
All those positions.
I think was John Roseborough was Roy Campanella had got paralyzed.
Oh, boy.
And I think John Roseborough was a catcher. And,
he was the guy.
And I think Duke Snyder might have been the first baseman. At one point, I could tell you who played every position.
Sure.
All the pitchers, who starting pitchers, Sandy Koufax and the, I think, Don Newcomb.
And Newcomb was really something. He's the kind of, they call him, one of those guys they call the barber because he'd give you a shave.
Oh, yes.
You don't stand too close to the base.
Politically, he was backward, though.
Yeah.
He was a great baseball player, but he was a right-wing Republican. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Well, let's run him down. Tell me about Wilt Chamberlain. What was Wilt Chamberlain's politics?
Wilt Chamberlain's politics were...
He seemed to be really an individual. My impression is that, he was known as a great athlete.
He was about Wilt Chamberlain. He was about dressing up, chasing women, living good, and he and what's her name, Bill Russell were like brothers in term, but they were the direct opposite, Bill Russell was about the cause of liberation, but
he's one of the bravest people ever played sports or spoke up in America. Yeah, really a great man.
And Wilt Chamberlain was he was kind of a selfish human being, but
they won't break his record. I know that. 100 points. We're speaking to Norman Otis Richmond. I want to just say lastly, Norman, hey, thanks a lot for talking about Jean Daniels. Shouldn't we do something for her, get a monument or something?
I shouldn't say I, but there've been people who have talked about that for years and years. But I think the specter of the Red Scare, I think people are scared of her because she was on the left, and she was.
I have to wind up, but I have to. I'm so glad you talked about her, and we will do something about it. I pledge myself. You and I will become part of a campaign to do right by Jean Daniels. Thank you very, very much, Norman.
Thank you.
Okay, doke. Bye bye. This is Taylor Reports. Steve Fruitman is coming up 33, 45, 78 soon.